morning reading is taken from Mark chapter 16, verses 1 to 8. If you want to follow me in your Bibles, it's page 55 of the New Testament section at the end. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He's not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he's going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Excuse me while I build something, bear with. What would we do without IKEA? All right. Okay. Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Isn't that fantastic? Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
It's fantastically, amazingly wonderful to be able to say, "Hallelujah, Christ is risen."
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
It's absolutely, incredibly, the best news ever. Hallelujah, Christ is risen. Simon, you can invite your dad back again. He really gets into this. Do you remember last Friday? Don't know, you might have been here, you might have been worshipping somewhere else. But last Friday was quite a sad day, wasn't it? Good Friday, when we remember that Jesus died on a cross. And in Mark's gospel, Mark tells us that after Jesus had died, Joseph went and asked for Jesus' body, Joseph of Arimathea. Now, it was normally what would happen when someone was crucified is you just leave the body there. They didn't usually take them down for a while. But Pilate checked that Jesus was dead. He asked his guards to go and check. And then they took all the bodies down. But Joseph came and took Jesus' body and wrapped it in a linen cloth. And he and three women went to a tomb that belonged to Joseph. And they went in and they laid Jesus' body in the tomb. And then they left the tomb and they rolled a big stone in front of it. Now, I need some help because this stone, it tells us in Mark's gospel, was very large and it's too big for me to move. So does somebody want to come and help me move an imaginary big stone? It is an imaginary big stone. I did really want to get a big stone to do this, but it's difficult to do. Malcolm, come forth. Anyone else? Anyone from down here wants to come and help me just push a big stone? You ready? Come on then, Malcolm, up here. Because we need to imagine that this is the tomb. There would have been a step down into the tomb if it was a normal tomb, and a bench on either side of the tomb. That's how they built them. So you come back out, and then you come along here, and then there's this big stone and a groove along the floor. You ready to give it a push? You need to come back round here. Come round here. Come round next to me. And ready to push? Ready? Push! Push harder, push harder, push harder. Come on, put your back into it. Thank you, Malcolm. Push, 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 push. And there it goes. And then, Malcolm, if you could get that little stone there and just shove it in that so it doesn't roll back and bang it in. Thank you very much. That's great. And that's what we would have done. And they sealed it. They sealed this tomb on Friday. And then, because it was the Sabbath, do you want to come for a walk with me? Yeah, come on then. Let's go for a walk. Because it was the Sabbath, they then all went, come on, they all went back home. And the Sabbath started on the evening before, so they needed to get home before it got dark. So they went all the way back to their place, the place where they were staying. And then they, because it was a Sabbath, they just rested and they prayed. They didn't do anything other than that. They just rested and prayed and waited and grieved because their friend had died. And then, early on Sunday morning, imagine, just as the sun is coming up, they pick up their spices. We need to pretend this has got spices in. Do you want to carry? Oh, no, I'll carry it. Sorry, because it's quite heavy. Oh, listen. As the sun's coming up, they're back this way. They walk back, and they're going with these spices, and they're going to see Jesus who died, the body, and they're going to put spices on the body to stop the body smelling and to dress it properly. So they're coming through early, early, early morning, like earlier than you usually get up, I'm sure. And they're walking along and they're thinking, they're talking to each other and they say, how are we going to move that stone out of the way? How are we going to move the stone out of the way? Because they're worried about it, because it's a really big stone. And then they keep walking and they get there and they see the stone is gone. The stone has been moved. Malcolm, you're properly getting into this. The stone has been rolled away. Thanks, Michael. The stone has been rolled away from the tomb. And they come up. And they were coming expecting to see Jesus' body lying where they'd left it. And all there is grave clothes. And you know, sitting there, Malcolm, I think you'll do this really well. Come on. He's sitting in the corner there. Just have a sit on that. There's a man all in white, an angel, and the angel says, it's quite frightening to see an angel when you're expecting to see a body. See an angel, and the angel says to them, don't be afraid, Jesus who you are seeking, and listen to the way that the angel says this really carefully, he has been raised. He has been raised. And then the angel says, go to Galilee and Jesus will meet you there. And everyone is really, really frightened and alarmed and confused and bewildered because they knew on Friday they took a dead person down from the grave who was great and dead and they saw the dead person get put in here and they rolled that stone. They saw that stone get rolled in front. And then they come back on Sunday morning and the stone is rolled away. And there is nothing. Well, there's the clothes. But there's no body. Body's gone. How amazing is that? And they see an angel who tells them to go because Jesus has been raised and has gone ahead of them. Thank you. You can go and sit down now if you like. Thank you very much for your help. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Except the women who followed Jesus that day didn't say that, not initially. The women don't reply like that, not yet. Mark's gospel ends, well, it kind of stops really in verse 8, with them going, trembling in fear and bewilderment and excitement, shaking, afraid, telling no one as they travel back to see their friends, the disciples. In other Gospels, the women meet with Jesus. And it's in that meeting with Jesus that they recognize that Jesus is truly alive. Mark's Gospel stops suddenly in verse 8. And in some ways, that's quite good because it means that we can become part of that story. So my question to us this morning is, how do we respond to this empty tomb? How do you react to the emptiness of this story? First, there's the empty cross. the empty cross. No need for that cross to be filled again. On Friday, Jesus says, "It is finished." And all the guilt and all the shame and all the evil of the world was laid on Jesus' shoulders. He took it, absorbed it, died with it. It is finished. That cross is empty. And the empty tomb, that's empty also. We can see it's empty because the stone was moved away. We didn't need to move that stone. And it isn't moved to let Jesus out. It's moved to let us in and to see that death is no more. The stone which held us all in death is no longer there. We can see that death is dead because that stone was rolled away. Nothing can contain the love and the power of God. Nothing can bind humanity and imprison us anymore. Nothing is too big for God to deal with. The stone is rolled, the tomb is empty. And the women leave the tomb trembling and afraid and confused, which is not surprising really when you think about it, when you think about what they expected and what they actually saw. And I wonder what is my and what is your response to this empty cross and this empty tomb? We could, of course, simply roll the stone back and think and just ignore it and walk away from it. Believe it never happened. Or we could think that something might have happened, but it was just a lovely story and just walk away. Or we could seek the risen Jesus. The disciples' confusion and fear and amazement at the empty tomb is only changed to joy and belief when they meet with the risen Jesus. First the women, then the 11, then Thomas, then thousands of people see the risen Jesus. And Paul lists them out in his letter to the Corinthians. They each witness that Jesus has been raised from the dead. And if this is true, then surely this cannot be ignored. Christ is risen. If it's true, we can't ignore Jesus or his teaching. His teaching about how to live well, his teaching about God and who God was. And neither can we ignore the freedom from the sin and the guilt and the shame and the death, the ultimate victory demonstrated by an empty cross and an empty tomb and a risen Lord. One of my favorite parts of this story happens in John's Gospel a week later when Thomas finally meets with the risen Jesus after the other 10 had met with him. And Thomas, when he meets with the risen Jesus, says a few words. He just says this. He says, "My Lord and my God." My Lord and my God. And this Easter, this morning, here in this church in Stoke Bishop, I want to invite each of us to meet with the risen Jesus. Pope Francis says this, "Christ is alive. We need to keep reminding ourselves of this because we can risk seeing Jesus Christ simply as a fine model from the distant past. Being a Christian is not the result of an ethical choice or a lofty idea, but is an encounter with an event, a person, which gives life a new horizon and decisive direction." As we sit here this morning in Stoke Bishop with this empty cross, this empty tomb, are we seeking to meet with the risen Jesus to declare that he is my Lord and my God? Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, risen and present with us here, reveal yourself now to those who seek you today. May we follow you, our Lord and our God. Amen. The band are just coming up to lead us in a song as we prepare to go into communion. And can I invite you, either for the first time or for the thousandth time, just to be open to meeting with the risen Jesus in this service. Be open to the fact that the Lord Jesus is here. Be open to the fact that as you come for communion, if you want to receive bread and wine for the first time in order to meet with the Lord, then please do that. If you want to come up and receive a blessing because you'd like to believe but you don't quite believe, that's also fine. If you want to come and celebrate once again that the Lord is risen and that the Lord is your Lord and your God, that is also fine. Let's worship together, let's stand together as we prepare to share in communion, to share that Jesus has died for us and is raised to life. Let's stand together.
I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet. My Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb. The entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah still and all alone. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. Oh Lord our God. Then on the third, at break of dawn, the Son of Heaven rose again. On chapel death, where is your sting? The angels roar for Christ the King. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. Oh Lord, oh Lord our God. He shall return in robes of white, the blazing sun shall pierce the night, and I will rise among the saints, my days transfixed on Jesus' face. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. Oh Lord, oh Lord. Let's sing, oh Lord. Oh Lord, oh Lord our God. Oh Lord, oh Lord our God.
As we stand together, let's pray. And I invite you to reflect on